14. It's in the front of your Bible, right? It's in the Old Testament. And 1 Chronicles chapter number 14. And we'll be short tonight. I've only got 6 points. They just kept coming. What was crazy was I sat around, I couldn't put an outline together. That's what was crazy. I was like, how in the world? I was coming up with all kind of stuff. I was thinking, well, I'm going to do principles and I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Next thing I know, it was like God just said, this is what I want. And then that same passage of scripture, I couldn't get nothing out of, no points out of. I ended up with 6. So we're going to look at that tonight. All right. Is everybody with me? Everybody mad because I ain't that normal preacher that preaches 3 points and y'all get out of here in 10 minutes. Y'all ain't got to say that. Y'all don't mean it. All right. 1 Chronicles chapter number 14. If you're there, say amen. If you're not by now, you won't be. All right. Bible says in verse number 8, we'll begin our reading and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. The Bible says, and when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, or said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. So they came up to Baal Perazim. All right, we'll get back to that. Sounds right. It's close enough. All right. And David smote them there. And David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal-perazim. All right. Is everybody all right? If I have to say that one more time, all right, we're just going, I ain't going to call it that. But anyhow, y'all get it. Verse number 12. And when they had left, their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God. God said unto him, go not up after them. Turn away from them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God is gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer. And the fame of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for a wonderful worship service tonight, Lord, a wonderful singing. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as we dive into your word. I pray, God, that you would give me wisdom and discernment, or bring all things to remembrance. And Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I was looking at this and I was thinking about the term, by the way, the word that I can't pronounce. It literally means the Lord that breaks. And I named this sermon title, I titled it Breaking Through. I believe that every single one of us, no matter who we are, will face these same sort of attacks that David did. Okay. I hope to prove that. I hope to show you. That the fact is that life isn't, the Christian life isn't, just this perfect little walk with rose petals all over the ground everywhere you step. I need somebody to say amen. Every now and then, there's a pile. Every now and then, there's some stickers. Is everybody all right? Every now and then, life just stinks. And the fact is that I think from David's life and from this story, I hope to help you to understand not only why the attacks come, but the benefit of those attacks. Wait a minute. Nobody likes to be under attack. I need somebody to help me right here. Nobody. There's nobody in here that just enjoys being attacked. Now, there's some of us that like to attack others. Oh, don't get quiet on me, all right? There's some that take pleasure out of attacking others. But there's nobody in here that likes to have somebody else attack you. Right? Especially when we believe that we are doing God's work. Now, it's one thing to get attacked for doing something bad. It's another thing to get attacked in the middle of your work for God. David here, in the scripture, just to give you a little background, David was anointed to be king. David was anointed as a boy to be king over Israel. David was anointed by the prophet Samuel. Samuel came. Many of you remember the story. And Jesse brought all of his sons before Samuel. And God told Samuel, ain't none of these boys the one. Jesse said, well, I got one more, but he's a ruddy little thing. The run of the family. He's out in the field taking care of the sheep. Samuel said, we ain't leaving until you bring him here. And as soon as David walked in, God spoke and said, this is he. This is the man. Samuel had gotten caught up in looking with his eyes at Reuben, but God looked upon the heart. God said about David that he was a man after God's own heart, man after mine own heart. This is David. This is that David. We go through David's life and he spends most of it after his anointing. He gets promoted by God, by the way, divine promotion in the Valley of Elah when he went out and he slew Goliath. Songs were sang about him. He was promoted to captain and he was going in and out leading the Israelites. I mean, David was famous. He was notorious. They knew all about him. They sang, even the Philistines had heard the songs that were sang about David. But there was one who was in David's place, and that was Saul. We know that Saul was rejected by God, but yet David never laid hands on Saul. We talked about this in our preacher college just Tuesday night. That David over and over again had opportunities, but David said he would not put his hands on God's anointed. Even though God had rejected Saul, David would not touch Saul without God's word or permission. And so, as we come to our story, Saul has died. Not of natural causes, he died in a battle against the Philistines. He's died, and now David has been anointed king and is ruling in Hebron. But the country is divided. And as we come to this place, the country has now united and they have anointed David king over all of Israel. This is third anointing. Anointed as a boy, anointed when he took over as king and Hebron, and then now anointed to be king over all of Israel. To be anointed means to be, and of course in biblical terms, it was a pouring of oil onto their head, setting apart, if you will, a consecrating for a specific position, office, whether that be a priest or a king or a prophet. And so David has experienced this anointing. What's not in the scripture and what we leading up to this was David desired to have the capital of Israel to be Jerusalem. And so David went out and the Jebusites controlled
Jerusalem. And David went against the great walled city of Jerusalem, and they mocked him and said, "You'll never get in." He said, they even told David, they hollered down from the walls and told David that the blind and the lame of the Jebusites could defend Jerusalem against David and Israel. And David put a bounty out. He said, whoever goes through the gutter and destroys and defends and sacks Jerusalem, I'll make him captain. So Joab said, I'll do it. And Joab went through the water or the gutter system and got into Jerusalem, and they took over Jerusalem. And now David has set up Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It is called the City of David. I mean, things are going great. Things are going great. Now the country's together, finally, after years of being in discourse, years of being uncertain, one having loyalties to David, some having loyalties to Saul. And now all of a sudden, the country's coming together. God's blessing, which, by the way, I'll say this about David. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that David prayed before he took Jerusalem. He just went and took Jerusalem, right? But here in our story, David has been anointed, and the Bible says in verse number 8, and when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. How many of you know when God starts doing a work in your life, the enemy's going to attack? I need somebody to help me. I mean, God, there was no doubt. If you go back and you read and you study up to this point and David's reign, there ain't no doubt that God's hand was upon David. Matter of fact, in scripture, it actually says that, and I should have underlined that. I should have highlighted it so we can bring that out. But the Bible literally said that God's hand was on David, and everybody knew it. I mean, it was obvious. God was doing work. And the Bible says that when the Philistines heard about it, when the enemy heard about it, they attacked. Do you know that that's the same for you and I? Do you know that we know different than David? Say, well, I'm not a king. No, but you're anointed. I ain't never had nobody pour no oil on me. I'm going to show you from scripture where you are anointed. You are chosen for a purpose, for an office. God has selected you and he has anointed you according to scripture. He has placed the Holy Spirit in you, thereby anointing you for a purpose. And if you think for one second the enemy ain't going to attack, you missed it. So let's look at the enemy and his attacks. I want you to look at, number one with me, the prompting of the attack. The prompting of the attack was his anointing. In 1 John chapter number 2 and in verse number 20, I'm going to get over there if you'll give me a minute. I'll probably do it faster on my iPad, but we're going to do it this way. 1 John chapter number 2 and in verse number 20, the Bible says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. That unction right there means an anointing. I need somebody to help me. Talking about the brethren. But ye have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One. Verse number 27 of the same chapter, which is 1 John chapter number 2, it says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So the anointing that the believer has, the anointing that the Christian has, is the Holy Spirit that is living inside of you and I. The unction, is everybody with me? The unction from the Holy One, and according to the Bible, we know all things. How about in 2 Corinthians? Let me get over there. 2 Corinthians chapter number one, if you're following along. 2 Corinthians chapter number one. And in verse number 21, the Bible says, "Now he which establish us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us an earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." So every child of God has been anointed. And what prompted the enemy to come against David was his anointing. The Bible says, when the Philistines heard that David was anointed. How many of you, when you first got saved, man, you got saved in that first week or maybe that second week, it seemed like all of hell come against you. I need somebody to say amen. It's like, if there was ever a time the enemy was going to come against you, it's at the beginning of your anointing. I mean, at the beginning, when you're fresh in your anointing, that is when the enemy attacks the most. And here David, the Bible says, when the Philistines heard of his anointing, they attacked him. So the prompting of the attack was his anointing. But not only that, the prompting of his attack was his accomplishments. It was his accomplishments. Because up until this point, David had already taken back parts of Israel. He'd already taken back parts that the enemy had taken away. And who do you think was next? The Philistines. And so they said, now is the best time to attack. David's fresh in his anointing. The country, the nation is fresh in their unity. They ain't got it all together. They still trying to work it out. Now's the time to go and attack. And so we see the prompting of the attack. I want you to notice with me not only the prompting of the attack, but I want you to notice with me the passion of the attack. The Bible says this about it. It says in verse number 8, all the Philistines. They didn't come after David with a couple. They didn't come after David and say, hey, you know what? Hey, them boys over there, them Israelites, they ain't much to them. Just send about 200 over there. Just send about 300 people over there. According to the Bible, all the Philistines. Every resource the enemy had came against God's anointing. Everything. Yeah, is everybody all right? How many of you has ever been attacked and felt like you got everything thrown at you plus the kitchen sink? I mean, how many of you know he's ruthless? How many of you know he wants to destroy you? Listen here, these attacks, they ain't just to discourage you, they are to kill you. According to the Bible, as we see the passion of the attack, we not only see all the Philistines come, but we've seen this. The Bible says in verse number 8, and it says that all the Philistines went up to seek David. They weren't just looking for David because they wanted to have a conversation. That word seek means that they were literally after his life. They were seeking to kill him. And so the passion behind the attacks was that all of the Philistines, all the resources of the enemy will come against you, and his purpose is to destroy you. It's to kill you. Is everybody all right? Ain't this one of them good sermons, man? Y'all just feeling good about it, ain't it? Hallelujah. I come to church, man. I was looking for something good and all. And now a preacher's going to tell me I'm going to get attacked. I wouldn't have to tell you get attacked if you was prepared for it. But you're not prepared for it. So when you get attacked, then you call me, whoa, I don't know what's going on. What do I do, preacher? What do I do? Preacher, I'm under attack. Preacher, it seems like everything's come against me. Preacher, it seems like I got a target on my back. Amen. You in good company. We see the prompting of the attack. We see the passion of the attack. I want you to notice the prayer of the attack. Bible says in verse number 10, and David inquired of God. Now, as I told you, David has already conquered Jerusalem. And nowhere in your Bible, Jesse, nowhere in the Bible does it say that David prayed to God and asked God, hey, can I go up and take Jerusalem? I don't know if it's God's grace, but God just let David just go and do what David wanted to do, and he took Jerusalem. But when the enemy came against David, David's first step was to cry out to God and inquire of God. Now, y'all got to help me. Oftentimes, that's not our first step. Oftentimes, it's not our second step. I mean, if we really got honest with it, it's way down the list. Matter of fact, I'll go one step. I think that more than likely we could say that a lot of times it is our last step. I mean, if we got honest, we generally, first thing when we come under attack, we call the family. Got to call the wife, spouse, whatever. Then we got to call the friends, right? We want their input on the situation. Then, if we attend church, we call the preacher. We want his input on it. How many times have you called the preacher before you prayed? David's first thought when the enemy attacked him was, God, what do I do? God, what do you want me to do? Now, don't think that David was scared or anything like that, because if you look at the passage of scripture, David said, shall I go up against him? Can I go? Turn me loose. Will you deliver me? Is everybody with me? We look at the prayer of the attack. His dependence was on the Lord. The only way that you and I are going to make it through an attack is if our dependence is upon the Lord. We see his inspiration was from the Lord. He said, wilt thou deliver me? And according to the Bible, and the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. That's pretty good. I don't know about you, but I kind of like two. There was God answered both of those questions. Shall I go up? God said, go up. That was a command. The inspiration was, will you deliver me? And God said, I will deliver them into your hands. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't care. I don't care my military training or not. If God was to tell me audibly, go ahead and go on up there, I will deliver them into your hands, I'm charging. Y'all say what you want to, but I mean, when you got a word from God, there ain't no doubt about it. God just kind of sits down and says, hey, you go up there and you do it. It's on. Can I get a witness right there? But many of us ain't listening to God. We're listening to all of our friends and everything else. I need somebody to help me now. We see the prayer of the attack. We see his dependence. We see his inspiration. We see his obedience. God told him to go up, and that's exactly what David did. And the first, there was two battles here, by the way. I don't know if you caught that. But in the first battle, David went out. He said, shall I go, and will you deliver me? God said, go up, and he says, I will deliver him in your hand. And David and the Israelites just charged all the Philistines head on. Don't miss this. I imagine the Philistines was coming over there with this great big army, and they was thinking, we fixing to wipe y'all out. And then here comes this little group, because it was David and his mighty men of valor. And they come rolling out there and just put a whooping on somebody. Amen? I mean, there was probably a little bit of shock there that this was the tactics that David would use, is to just come full frontal on an attacking enemy. David just went with a word from God. Go up and I'll deliver you. Is everybody with me? Let me say this, because I want to bring this up. The Philistines, according to the Bible, they come back. And what was the first thing that David did? Verse 14, David inquired again of God. Now, David won the battle the first time by charging the enemy head on. Most of us, let's just be honest, if the same enemy came back with a smaller force, we'd probably do it the same way that worked the first time. But David, according to the Bible, inquired of the Lord again. I don't know what the time span is in this, but I don't think they went all the way back to Philistia and got regrouped. I think they probably got regrouped and turned around and said, I don't know what just happened. Well, we're fixing to go in. We still got more people than they do. We're going to go whoop them. And instead of running out there hastily and getting himself in trouble, David inquired of the Lord again. And you know what God told him? No, you can't do it. What? Well, preacher, I prayed one time. Same enemy. Same location. And God said yes one time and no the next. Can I just, I'm just throwing this out there. This story, if nothing else, ought to teach us that every attack deserves prayer. Every attack deserves prayer. Not just the first one, but how weak are we in our prayer life when it comes to these things? The prompting of the attack, the passion of the attack, the prayer of the attack. Number three, the praise of the attack. Verse number 11, the Bible says, so they came up to that word, and David smote them there, and then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by my hand like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore, they called the name of the place, and that was that word. All right? I'm not going to try to say it again. The praise of the attack, he glorified God for the victory. And then he honored God in the victory. David not only glorified God in his victory, this was just the first victory, by the way. He didn't completely defeat the Philistines, and yet he thanked God and he glorified God for the victory he had in a battle, not in the war. Are y'all with me tonight? He didn't wait till his enemy was completely destroyed to start glorifying God and thanking God for what he had done for him. Not only did he pray to God in every instance, but he glorified God in each instance. And according to the Bible, not only did he glorify God, but he honored God. How did he honor God? He named the place the Lord of Breaks. The victory, the place where God had given him the victory, he set a name upon it. Not only that, but he obeyed God's word in the middle of it, because in verse number 12 it says, and when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment and they were burned with fire. David got that from scripture. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse number 5, but thus shall you deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. So God was honored not only in the naming of the place, but God was honored in David in his obedience to the word of God. And he did as he was commanded. He commanded others to burn the idols. Now you go and you read that passage of scripture. God told them to burn the idols and do that, because if they didn't, then those idols and those strange gods would lead them away from the true God. And so David wasn't taking any chances of his faith getting derailed in the middle of his attack. Y'all, that's good. I don't care who you are. I know y'all ain't with it tonight. I know. I don't know. Maybe it's bad preaching tonight. Serious? No, I ain't. No, I can tell by your faces. There's something wrong. I don't know what it is. But you remember this when you call me and tell me you're being attacked. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say, you go back to that Wednesday night service. Don't call me. Seriously. We can't get with it. Why even come? If it's bad, let me know. I'll quit. I'll sit down. We're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked. And you're going to treat it with one or two ways. Either you're just going to get bitter about it, or we can do like David did. He took it to God. I think I proved we're all anointed. We all have the same anointing, and this is when these attacks come. God has a job and a purpose for you, and the devil, the enemy wants nothing more than to derail you and destroy you. And we are so apathetic to the Word of God. We come to church and all we want to do is listen to singing. We get preaching time and all of a sudden we don't call preaching time worship. Got folks sleeping while I'm preaching. Stay your butt home. Everybody all right? Seriously, you ain't a blessing to me at all. Stay home. Go get you some sleep. Take your nap in your own recliner. Instead of everybody else having to listen to you snore. Amen. Well, he's mean preaching tonight. Well, you mean mugging tonight, and I've had enough of it. Is everybody all right? For the love. David was attacked. You and I are going to be attacked. Read the scripture. Get the outline. They didn't just attack him once. They came against him again. While we're sleeping in church, the enemy's coming against us again. While we're running around, I don't know why God won't do this for me. I don't know why God won't do that for me. We're playing with God. The Bible says David inquired. They come again, David inquired again. I give you this and I'm done. The prophet of the attack. God told David, don't attack them the same way. Don't come at them the same way. Go around to the mulberry bush or mulberry trees. He said, when you hear the sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that literally means when you hear the marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you go attack. Everybody all right? We're getting on to some entertainment now. Everybody getting excited. So David went over there and he sat in there and he waited. One commentator said that marching, said it was like horses' hoofs coming. The Bible says that when they come through there, then you could attack, because then you would know that God went before you. So the first attack, God allowed David to go out and defeat. Small battle, didn't last long, but they attacked again. God said, we're going to do it a little different this time. So I want you to go around behind them and wait for that sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees. So then you'll know I'm going before you. If you'll read your Bible, it wasn't David that destroyed the enemy. It was God. So the prophet to our attacks was his faith. See, David, up until this point, he had done all the fighting himself. But now God showed him in the battle against his greatest enemy that God was for him. And when God was for him, David was to go out and attack. Could you imagine? Here they just got beat by a bunch of mighty men of valor, maybe about 50, 60, 70 mighty men of valor. I don't know how many they were, but I mean, they come out, these guys, and attacked us from the front. And I mean, they put a whooping on us. And now they like, we ain't going to let that happen. We ain't going to get beat by no small army. We going back in there. And while they're going back in there, all of a sudden, they start hearing horses. I need somebody to help me. And it was coming from everywhere because the valley, by the way, the valley of Reshom is a valley of mulberry trees. It was a fruitful place and it was known for the mulberry trees. And so this going in the tops completely surrounded them. And they were like, what happened? What's fixing to go on? And they took off. And according to the Bible, David, the Lord went before him, but David and the Israelites chased them from Gibeon all the way to Gezer. That don't mean much to you and I, but let me tell you what that means to David. He completely run the enemy out of his domain. And back to where he belonged. See, the Philistines had been all in Israel. But this victory, this attack, God meant it for good. And God proved himself to David. His faith increased. And his enemy retreated. Done. Over. But it was only because of David's prayer life and his attacks. Satan going to come against us. Come against us tonight. How are we going to respond to it? All right. It's late. God bless you. Y'all be careful. I'll see y'all Sunday morning.